Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 133 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Feyenoord, the second leg of the Champions League round of 16, which finished 2-1 to the hosts. Goals from Marcus Thuram in the 8th minute. A banger very similar to the one that he scored against Milan in the derby last year. Motor in the 42nd on a penalty that was, no question about it, a penalty, fouled by Hakan. And Çalhanoğlu in the 51st on a penalty that is up for debate. And we will get into all of it. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. Johnny, more surprising event for you that Mkhitaryan had a rebound game or that Spike Lee was in the stadium to take in a Champions League night?
Got to be the Spike Lee was in the stadium, right? I mean, as much as I want to say, it's surprising that Mkhitaryan was able to rebound. Now, I don't want to get too excited because look at the competition we were going up against. Can we look at that objectively, please? Is that possible? That doesn't mean I wasn't impressed with his performance, but I also think you need to factor that as well. But yeah, who really would have thought? I guess you know, if you have a chance to leave MSG and go to the real cathedral, you got to do it, right? So hats off to him to coming out to support Marcus Thuram, who knows, maybe we're going to see a Calcio version of He Got Game coming out here in a little bit.
I'd watch.
Marcus Shuttlesworth, you know? I don't know.
I think he's got some acting chops, as shown by a specific action that took place in this game.
See he's acting.
So we can get into all that. It's always interesting to see like the big celebrities show up, like Kanye West or Spike Lee at an Inter game, but pretty cool. It is a global brand, and you know, hopefully he enjoyed what he saw on the pitch today. Speaking of what we saw on the pitch today, Johnny, Inter is one of the last 8 teams left standing in the Champions League. Qualified for the quarterfinals for the second time in 3 years. You know, you mentioned the quality of opponent that we face in this round of 16. Honestly, after Atletico last year, you know, we kind of earned maybe an easier tie progressing through to this next round of the Champions League. But what's coming ahead of us is a real clash of the Titans here. That I want to ask you, you know, we always do these parallels, egg facts stuff, you know, to the 2010 treble winning side. Recently, there's been a lot of discussion about the treble. Obviously, Inzaghi has sort of brought that on when, you know, he threw up the three fingers in the press conference. Bayern Munich is the team that we faced to win the treble last time. Now that we have this head-to-head clash set up in the quarterfinals, are you starting to believe in something bigger for this team this year, despite the fact that maybe it hasn't been the best year from a performance perspective?
I don't know if I'm going to buy into that or believe that. I think it makes it a little bit hard when you do see our side of the bracket. I think it's a much more difficult route to the finals than it was 2 years ago. Do I think that we can make it? Absolutely. You know, if you happen to catch any of the Barcelona game, Lamine Yamal had to have two insane moments of brilliance, you know, for them to be able to finish that tie off. And if he doesn't do that, who knows what happens in that matchup, really. So it's, I'm not going to say that we have no chance by any means. I mean, I do believe that we really can make it to the finals once again, but it's like, what version of Inter is going to show up, and are we going to be able to stay healthy? You know, if you look at our lineup of games coming up, it is not going to be easy for us. given that we still have to play Milan in the Coppa Italia semis. We have, you know, matches against Bologna, Roma. I'm sure I'm forgetting other matchups as well.
Udinese, who have been, has come on so strong recently.
So freaking strong, yeah. And Lorenzo Luca and, you know, even Florian Thauvin, who's been a player. He was a player that I did want back when he was at Marseille. I mean, even before he was at Marseille, when, you know, he was at Newcastle, and I forgot where he was before Newcastle. But, I mean, the guy is a fantastic winger, and that was back when, obviously, we were playing a 4-3-3. But it's not going to be easy for us. And it's like, are we going to be able to stay competitive in all three fronts? That remains to be seen. You know, I did want to go out in the quarterfinals to Lazio in the Coppa Italia because, like we said, the emotional and physical toll that it takes on you to play Milan again, and God forbid you lose to them again, what that could do to you psychologically. And then you have to worry about, you know, staying focused in the league, staying focused in the Champions League. It's not something that I really wanted to have to worry about, but hey, it is the route we have to take, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it. I'm going to be interested to see how we navigate this and what lineups he decides to deploy. You know, of course, it was easy to rest a lot of guys today because of, you know, who we were up against. But yeah, it's going to be a rough one for the next few weeks, really.
And also considering that this year has not been the best for Inter when it comes to head-to-head clashes in the big matches. So yeah, it's a great tie. People that love the sport, love football, understand what a matchup between Inter and Bayern means. And I'm really excited to face them. I'm not super, super worried. Knock on wood. I hope that doesn't come back to bite me. I definitely think we have a chance. But yeah, as we get closer to it, we'll break them down a little bit more. But let's get into this game. Barella rested. Lautaro rested. Two guys that definitely needed it. De Vrij hurt in warmups. Who ends up with the captain's armband? None other than Denzel Dumfries. Would you have believed it if I told you that a couple years ago? Arguably a man of the match performance. I thought he was brilliant today. And given our history with Denzel Dumfries on the pod, I want to start off talking about this game with, how do you think it looked with him with the armband? What did you think of his performance? Because I thought he looked like a captain out there.
Let's be honest, I wasn't thrilled that he got the armband to start. I was kind of expecting it to be Hakan or even Jan Sommer, to be quite honest. Now, I get it. Maybe it was based off seniority. And even if, you know, if that's the case or not, whatever, it's not fine. I was very impressed with Denzel's display today. I think, yeah, like you said, he did play like a captain. And I love that he's been proving me wrong a lot this season. You know, it's not something, like I said, I wasn't ever rooting against him. I was just very disappointed with his performances and didn't think that he was up to Inter quality. We've seen now this season that is definitely the case. He is very deserving of not only being able to wear these colors, but can, you know, don the armband. And very thrilled with the way he played. And I hope that he can keep this going, you know, like he has for most of the season, because given how thin we are at the wingbacks, it is going to be crucial for him to continue to put in, you know, performances like this for us.
I saw Average Joe talking about it on Twitter. Is Denzel Dumfries a top five player for Inter this season?
Let's look at this. All right, you got Thuram that I would put in a top five.
Based off the first half of the season, absolutely have to throw him in there.
I would still put him even with what he's been doing lately. I would still put him. You got Thuram, Bastoni without question, Barella without question. Di Marco based on the first half definitely faded in the second half. So maybe you could make an argument to leave him out. De Vrij, I think you could put in the top five. I'm not saying that Dumfries can't be in there, but I would say he's in the if you gave me a list of seven and I have to pick five, he would definitely be within that seven, and he could probably make it into the top five. If I really sat down and looked at everything, I could totally see him being in there though.
I think he's in the top five. I think DiMarco has to drop out and De Vrij has to stay in.
Okay.
I think, you know, it's not just performance and contribution. It's also he has been available for us in a time that's been super, super needed, and he's been performing there. So super happy with him. He seemed really excited and you know, mentioned how much of an honor it was to be able to wear the armband, especially I have to think, you know, players see what's said about them on social media as hard as they might try to avoid it. I have to think that this was some validation for him personally after he's earned a lot of the criticism that's come his way, but he mm-hmm. absolutely has earned the praise as well. We're lucky to have him on this team and happy, you know, that he got the armband and lived up to it, which I think is super important. Another Dutchman, we got to talk about this. De Vrij goes down. Prior to this match this week, he trained separately from the team along with Lautaro. Seemed like during warmups, he you know, had an injury to his knee. He said after the game, nothing to worry about. In the event that he does have to miss some time, do you think Acerbi, Bisek, possibly Bastoni is going to be plenty of cover for us in order to get through these next several fixtures?
I mean, you can't forget Pavard. You know, I think that he could also be slotted there if needed. Do I think it's enough? Yes. Am I worried that we won't rotate it the right way and then cause, you know, fatigue? Possibly. you know, it's not easy. You know, I feel like a lot of guys are dropping like flies for us. We're making it harder on ourselves to give proper rest to some of these guys. But I'm not trying to blame Inzaghi or blame any of the players for them picking up knocks or whatnot. But it's just it's not going to be easy. This run of games, given the lack of depth that we're starting to see. I shouldn't even say it's a lack of depth because we do have it, but because of how much and how often we're going down, it makes it much harder. So I think people are going to have to step up and put in, you know, 10 out of 10 performances type thing to be able to sustain where we are, not only in the table, but also, you know, our place in the Coppa Italia and the Champions League. And hopefully, you know, some guys are able to rise to the occasion.
I couldn't help but think about it today, just how many injuries this team has actually suffered. I don't think we've been talking about it. I don't think anyone, Calcio Twitter hasn't been talking about it. You know, Inter Twitter hasn't really been talking about it, but we've suffered some pretty major injuries to every department on this team. We know the current state of the wingbacks. Our starting goalkeeper went down. Obviously, it wasn't that long of a period of time, but that's your starting goalkeeper that goes down. Everyone across the back line was injured. Acerbi was a corpse for essentially 2 months. Hakan suffered a major injury. Thuram went down for a while. It's like, I don't think you can ultimately tell the story of the season at the end of it without, you know, walking through all the different injuries that we've suffered at periods of time. No excuses. We've talked a lot about the depth that this team has, but you just hope after everything that you've seen with the wingbacks, after seeing Zielinski suffer that injury, after seeing your starting goalkeeper break his hand, obviously he was black today, but you know, another injury that Vrij pulling out in warmups, it's kind of like, give us a break. This team deserves it, fighting on all these different fronts. All right, Thuram's goal in the, the eighth minute, I believe. Mm-hmm. Very similar eighth to what minute. He scored against Milan. I guess the
almost
big thing.
Almost carbon copies.
Almost a carbon copy, roofed it into the top. I love that spot for him in the box there. But him scoring that goal, are you, you know, given his recent form and given that he's been on painkillers, he's not the only one that's been on painkillers, and given that he's been struggling to get into games, how important is it for him to, he scored in both of these legs of the Champions League. Do you think he's back into it, or do we still need to see more in order to declare him, you know, 100% ready to go?
I think I need to see a little bit more, and it's, more so in just the pace aspect. I feel like that burst that he was able to display early on the season is a little bit lacking. Could just be fatigue. Could just be, you know, he's still just kind of nursing that injury. I obviously, I don't know. But I think if I'm able to see that, then I could say, oh, yeah, he's back. You know, the finishing has been there. Obviously, he still has the technical abilities, the dribbling and stuff that we so desperately need. But I just feel like a little bit of the pace is missing. But hopefully we can get that back at least in time for the Bayern game.
That slalom run that he had through the defense in the second half where cuts it onto his left foot and then bangs it off the bar. That's going to be one of those like almost goals that you remember of like, God, you just wish that would have went in the back of the net because the lead up to it was so phenomenal that it deserved the goal. But obviously he crashes that off the bar. And then got to talk a little bit about this PK situation where called.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about the one on Thuram that gets called on him. VAR calls it over. Ref takes a look. It turns out that he wasn't touched. He does do this thing where like he's pretty good at drawing contact. And if you look at last year, there was a narrative that he goes down easily. If you look at all the penalties that were called against them, there was always contact. This is the first one that I can remember where he went down, you know, and it was a dive, and he rightly got yellow carded for it. What'd you make of Marcus doing that?
It bothers me. It's something that he's done even last season. And I think I brought it up last episode that it's like, you know, I don't want him to be actually fouled and we don't get the benefit of that or the actual call because of his going down easily and diving or making a meal of it. It's not necessary. We have control of the match. We have control of the tie. Like there's no need to do it. And he easily could have just kept his run going, got past the guy who went down, and then just been clean on goal. And who knows what happens then? You know, I don't like it. It doesn't matter who you play for. I don't think that we should be having this in the game. And I'm glad that he did get carded for it. And hopefully, you know, in the future, he thinks before he does decide to go down because there's just no need.
It's also stupid because you know, if you draw the penalty and there was no contact, you know it's getting reviewed. So you're opening yourself up to not only the criticism of, okay, you're a diver, which is never something that you want associated with you, but also you pick up that yellow. Anything could happen for the rest of the time that you're on the pitch. That could cause you to get a yellow. I mean, you can try to stay out of challenges, but you don't know how things are going to go. It's just not very smart from him. I think he's a really good person. You can tell that from like his interviews and stuff like that. I don't think that he's a diver, but obviously he embellished there a little bit and the referee handled it perfectly. He thought he was fouled. You know, the VAR had him look at it. It was a clear and obvious error and Thuram ended up with the yellow card, but he's still okay for the next round of the Champions League. Let's switch over to the other penalty kick that was called for Inter. Now this was Taremi was going for the ball and apparently was stepped on. The referee initially called the foul outside the box and then was told by the VAR that it occurred inside the box and he gave it a penalty. Did he go to the video monitor to look at this again, or was he just told?
He was just told.
Yeah, I don't remember him going to the monitor because I think if he did, I don't think he would have given that. Did you see contact?
I didn't. I did not. You know, and if there was any, it was minimal at most. At most, like. I think maybe his shin, and I mean Taremi's shin, grazes. I don't even remember who committed the foul for, or
Bielan?
Feyenoord. Yeah, was it Bielan? I don't remember now. It doesn't really matter. Bielan. I don't know. Very weak call, in my opinion. Very weak. Yeah. If that got called against us, I would have been really pissed off. Like, if that brought, like, let's say it was 1-1 still and that made it 2-1 and kind of made the tie a little bit more interesting, I would have been very upset. So I wish that, I don't know. I don't even know if, like, I would wish that he went to the video, like, the video to take a look. I just wish it was never called that to begin with. I don't know how you do call it that. I'm just, it doesn't make sense to me. So.
Yeah, it puts us in a bad spot, right? Because, you know, it's like Inter is the beneficiary of a refereeing decision, which is not the case, but it's people love to talk about that. Today was the case, at least from what I can see. I don't know if there's an angle that we weren't shown on TV that shows him clearly getting stepped on. There was some contact, like knee to knee, but not enough for exactly like you said. If that had gone against us, I would be fuming. So we're going to do the right thing and call it out and say that, you know, it wasn't a penalty. Unless there are images that show he otherwise, I'd be happy to take a look at him. But from what I've seen, that was not the case. There was a third penalty incident in this game, a foul by Hakan Çalhanoğlu in the penalty box in the first half for Feyenoord. For me, the clearest action of the day. Hakan absolutely took him out from behind in really stupid circumstances because Acerbi had Motor locked up. He wasn't going anywhere. Even if Hakan didn't even need to move towards the ball. He clatters right into him. I think, you know, Tony had said on Twitter, Hakan's been making these stupid mistakes all year. What was that? From the Turkish mid, I don't even know what he's thinking, especially right before the half. Like,
it made no sense to me. Like, I was just, when I saw it in real time, I immediately said, like, and I was watching the game at work, and I said out loud, like, what an idiot! And at the time, one of my coworkers had his back to the TV, and he turned and kind of saw the latter end, and he's like, oh, what happened? You know, and I was like, it just getting there late. Get like you're seeing your teammate coming in to assist. He would have not had really like an easy opportunity on goal. So what are you doing there? Like what did you think was going to happen? I the brain farts that he's been having sometimes this season are a little mind-boggling to say the least. And I just wish that he would be a little more aware in these situations like that. Imagine if it was tied and that cost us, you know, like how do you come back from that? I don't know. I don't know if it's fatigue or anything. Cause you know what? Sometimes when you are tired, your brain doesn't keep up with what your body wants to do. And you do some stupid stuff. Could very well be that, but it's just, I expected better, you know? And I think a lot of Interisti would say the same thing, that a player of his caliber and talent, you would hope that he would be a little bit smarter in that situation.
I think, you know, Monza was the kind of game from Hakan where it's like, okay, we've been waiting for this. It looks like you're getting back into the rhythm. Today wasn't super encouraging. He did score. He did put away his penalty, which is important, I guess, for confidence. But he's still got some work to do to work his way back into form. He played a lot of minutes today, and you know, given the state of our midfield now that you know Zielinski has fallen out, Aslani is suspended for the first leg against Bayern. Fratesi may have picked up a knock at the end of this game. We absolutely need all of our midfielders healthy and ready to go. So Hakan, you got to be better next time around. It was just silly. It was just very silly and unnecessary. I had a question about the penalties today.
Let's hear it.
Would you rather have Sommer or Jose Martinez in a penalty shootout? Like, if you had your last change to make right before the PKs, would you think about it?
I would think about it, and I would actually do it. You see today with Gianluigi Donnarumma how size matters in a shootout. And as much as I love Jan Sommer, and you know what? And he's been very good in shootouts. If you look at his overall numbers, specifically really with Switzerland, he's made some fantastic saves, but that was also 3 years ago. Actually, coming up on 4 years now because it was in the 2021 Euros. You're not as quick as you used to be, and he obviously doesn't have the range and the able to cover the net the same way that Josep Martínez is. We've seen Martínez block penalties. He's done it a bunch of times with Genoa. I probably would go and make that sub, and that's not a knock on Sommer. It's just size does actually matter. Ladies, you were right all along.
It's a very specific skill, like a penalty shootout. And during the game, I had the thought of like, would I make the switch? And then watching PSG Liverpool, the shootout, I was like, you have to. Not only, you know, I know Sommer has a good track record on saving penalties, but so does Josep Martínez. Plus, he has that extra little bit of arm, what do you call it? Like arm length, whatever, arm measurement, wingspan.
Wingspan. I was thinking of it too. I was like, what is the word? But
yeah, he has that little extra. I would be interesting, especially because the last penalty shootout this team was in was not inspiring. So you would hope something changes. What's an example of a team that's done that? Self-doubt their key.
Well, the Netherlands did it a few years back in the World Cup.
Yep.
I know Chelsea tried to do it with
Sarri,
Kepa and another team, Kepa and Caballero, and I'm trying to remember. There was another one, and I just can't think of it right now.
Keylor Navas and
I don't
know. It would have been that.
Wait, did they take out? They might have taken out Claudio Bravo. No, Bravo was at Barcelona.
Was it Reina?
No, who was the other goal? It was a goalie with Keylor Navas, though. At Real Madrid. Was it Iker? It might have been. I would want to look it up.
Yeah. There's precedent for it. So we'll see if it ever ends up happening. All right. Fratesi got the start today. There was one specific action that I thought was the perfect encapsulation of who Fratesi is, where he gets the ball in our half, strides up the pitch, deletes like three players out. Once he starts getting at full stretch there, full speed, he's pretty tough to bring down. He rode a challenge, sprinting across the field, eats up like 20, 30 yards in no time, has an open pass down the wide side of the pitch on the left-hand side, like a wide open Carlos Augusto. It's a 15-yard pass, but there's no one blocking the passing lane. And you could almost see in his mind, like, oh, this might be a step too difficult for me to do. And then he just lays off the one-yard pass to Mkhitaryan, who pings it into Taremi right off of his feet. And it was just the perfect, like, he's got this one skill that he's really good at, and then everything else is not there. What did you make of Davide Fratesi today?
Okay, real quick before I address this, it had nothing to do with Keylor Navas, but there was a second time where Kepa was actually subbed in for Edouard Mendy for Chelsea. So that was that one, and there was actually some goalkeeper from Serie A, who I had no idea who he was, but it was Pietro Spinoza against Ascoli for Castel di Sangro in Serie B. Anyway, what did I make of Davide Fratesi? I'm over it. I'm going to be real. I don't see what he brings. I don't see what he could do. I don't see how he is an asset here. You know what moment stands out to me? It was in the first half, and there was a ball that was, I don't remember if it was deflected by Acerbi or what, but Fratesi was on that side, on the his opposite side that he normally plays on, and he was backing up, and he just fell on his ass. And Feyenoord got an opportunity in the counterattack that Sommer was able to save. And I'm like, imagine if that is what led to Feyenoord taking a one-goal lead on us in that instance. Like, or actually, I think it would have been 1-1 at that point because Thuram scored in the 8th minute. But like, imagine if they just equalize off of that. Like, I don't know, the coordination, it was just kind of meh. There was a ball that Dumfries actually played onto the wing that Fratesi was able to run onto. He had loads of space. And what does he do? He crosses it right into Hanko. I just don't understand. Like, buddy, you had Thuram and Taremi streaking into the box, and you still can't even find one of them. Cool that you're able to bang in a few goals here and there. I am literally just counting down the days until he could be sold. I didn't want him from the beginning. I will stand by that. I wanted Lazar Samardžić, and I still would take him right now, even though he's not even having the greatest of years at Atalanta. I still think the potential is there, and he would offer loads more than Fratesi, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. His Inter career is ending this summer. In my opinion, it's like a 96-97% chance, especially with Suchet already locked up. It's like, okay, that's either going to be your spot or Aslani's spot. And I'm pretty sure it's your spot, especially after everything. Like, not only do you not really fit into this Inzaghi team, and I like, maybe the thinking was we're going to get someone who's super direct, but ultimately he doesn't have the technique, the technical ability required to play in Inzaghi's midfield. So he's gone. So now it's just a matter of, like, you're a body on the team for the rest of the year. Just give it everything you have for us until the end of the season, and then we'll both part ways. A game against Feyenoord where it's the Champions League, it's you're already up to, Feyenoord has to attack, so the thing that you're known for, which is finding space in behind, like, that's going to be open for you. You just really, any Fratesi supporter, which I'm a Fratesi supporter. Like, I'm a national team fan. Like, I need him to do well. I don't
just
think he's
everybody. You're captain positivity, and it is boring.
Oh, it's not. It's a matter of not wanting to see his career putter out because, you know, obviously the national team needs him and his goals. But he's not right for Inter. I think that's pretty obvious. But you just hope that he would do better. And I know that this argument is wrong for a number of different reasons. But didn't it feel like Berenbruch in the 10 minutes that he was on the pitch was more involved in, like, recycling possession and actually looking like he belonged? I don't know. It was very encouraging to see what Berenbruch did, but also when you frame it in the context of how uninspiring Fratesi is from time to time, it's, you know, it is what it is. We're at the end.
I've been calling for it for a while. Berenbruch, Topalovic, whoever you want, I would take over that bum who is only famous because he has a hot sister. Okay? I don't like him. I never will like him. I don't care how many goals he scores. I've said it.
I thought you came around on Fratesi.
I almost did. But you know what? I was proven right, and I am the smartest Inter fan ever. Okay, that's a massive exaggeration, and I hope people understand that is sarcasm.
We'll put out a poll.
Oh, God, please don't. I don't need a 98-2. No, he's not the smart poll to come out. That's my ego does not need that. But yeah, no, just I can't wait till he's gone, to be quite honest.
We just spoke a little bit about Berenbruch. Let's go over to the kids. Both Matteo Cocchi and Thomas Berenbruch get their debut for Inter today in the Champions League. Pretty cool. Same competition that Giacomo De Pieri got his debut in. It's amazing. There's all these matches available for these kids in Serie A, but no, they only play in the Champions League. not to mention a knockout game against Feyenoord. Either one of those kids stand out to you at all? I think my main takeaway is Koki looks small. Like, he looks really small. He looks like he's got to fill out physically. And then with Bettenbruck, it was strange how comfortable and effective he looked on the pitch today. Like, he's ready for the level. He's got to be playing in Serie A for some team next year. It's time for these kids to start playing.
Listen, I've been saying that for a while. I think that you do have to be able to allow your young players to get experience. I think that's important for their growth and their understanding of what is expected at a club like Inter and what their manager is expecting from them. In Simone Inzaghi, I don't want to throw them in against, you know, a Milan, a Juve, or even, you know, Napoli or Bologna. But I think there is opportunities for them against a Lecce and Empoli or stuff like that, where they can get, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes here and there. Because it doesn't have to only be in blowouts, in my opinion. You know, like, it could be a 2-1 game and you want them to learn how to handle that pressure, handle wearing these colors and the weight that comes with playing for a club like Inter. I don't know if it'll happen or when it's going to happen, but I think at some point that we will start seeing that. It may not be under Inzaghi, but I think there will be managers who may be not pressured, but encouraged to play the youth and give them an opportunity out there, because it's going to be important for our growth and our sustained success. We're not going to be that club that's spending $100-200 million in the summer to rejuvenate a squad. We're going to have to develop some youth here and there. And, you know, you could spend a 30 to, let's say, 70 million, you know, in a summer to buy a few pieces, but you're also going to have to develop. So it'll be nice to see how a Bettenbruch, a Topalovic, a Koki are able to grow. And, you know, I would love to see more Primavera kids make it into the first the starting 11, because, you know, we've only had Di Marco be any success in the last maybe 10 years. You know, I mean, yeah, Pinamonte had some instances. Sebastiano Esposito had a game, really. And I mean that, like, the game that he scored in, but
a penalty.
Yeah. It's few and far between, and I would like to see more. So we'll see.
I think you make a really good point just about the future and how it has to move towards this at some point. You look at a few things. One, if Oak Tree is going to be around for a while, you absolutely believe that the reason that they're investing in young kids like Topalovic, Alex Perez, Thiago Romano, Vukoye, like, they've made several signings for the youth team. The youth team is in, I don't know if it's the quarters or the semis of the UEFA Youth League champions. They just knocked out Bayern. And they're investing in a U23 team for us for next year. You have to imagine all that is happening, because they envision it being a pipeline to the first team where they can get actual starters or actual rotation players without having to outlay a ton of money. And it's something that, I think we spoke about this on the last pod. Like, you just want to see academy players come through. Like, you want to see lifers at the club come through. So Bettenbruch look good. Let's see what ends up happening with Koki. But I think he's worth taking a look at for next year, at least as far as a loan situation like Fabian received, where he, you know, made his mark and made a name for himself. All right. Tale of two players here. Let's start with Henrik Mkhitaryan. One of his better games of the season today. It was a lot tidier than what we saw against Monza. Wasn't giving anything away. And as far as the energy is concerned, that last 20-25 minutes, all of Inter's counters and breakaways ran through him. And he was the one that was driving the ball up the pitch. Given the amount of injuries that this midfield is dealing with and the amount of games that we have coming up, Johnny, are you giving Mkhitaryan a shot to come back into your good graces here with some good performances, starting with today's match.
He would need like 10 straight good performances to get back in my good graces. Like, it's not one game does not make a player.
You 10 know, like games if, left in Serie A.
If that were it. The case, Federico Maqueda would be considered the greatest striker in the history of Manchester United. Does anybody remember him? He had one great
96th minute winner in his debut.
I mean, and that's literally all he ever did. He faded into obscurity faster than I can't even think of something witty at this point. I'm so tired. But we like, you can't just say like, oh man, he's back. Like, he's in my, like, great performance. I will not deny that. I have nothing negative to say about his game today. It was perfect, really, from him. It's a shame that it has to happen once every 35 games, apparently, for me to feel that way about Mkhitaryan. Because, you know, I'd say for most of this season, actually, if not for all of this season, he's been a massive disappointment. I don't get why he continues to be leaned on and trusted with a spot in the starting 11. Now I understand it's out of necessity, but I expect more from a player of his quality. Like, we've seen it, whether it was at Arsenal, Borussia Dortmund, even Man United, which, you know, people would say he flopped at. There was still more quality there. Even Roma, he had great games, and I feel like he dropped less stinkers. I get it; he's older. Father Time is undefeated, and whatever other cliche you want to throw out there. But I still expect a player with that brain to be able to make the right plays and be able to make the smart passes where there's times where I don't expect you to outpace everyone. I don't expect you to blow past people. But I do expect you to be able to pick out a teammate and make the right pass and not hit it right off the defender directly in front of you. You know, it's a little frustrating at times with him. And I'll never, like I said last week, I will never call him a club legend. I do think he's had moments of brilliance and big impactful moments. But he's never going to go down as someone that I when he's retired, I'll never think, oh, man, I'm glad Henrik Mkhitaryan wore the Inter colors. Like, I'll probably never say that about him. Whereas I will say that about, you know, Thiago Motta, Goran Pandev. Let's think of teams that didn't even, I would even say that about Rafinha. And you people can come
6 months at Inter.
I was glad to see him wear the colors and I wanted him to stay. I never wanted him to leave. And, you know, it's a shame that Eric Tohir was an absolute liar because we were promised Cancelo and we were promised Rafinha and neither of them stayed. I think that they would have been massive players at this club and actually maybe carved out legacies for themselves. I've never thought that about Henrik and I probably never will. Let me ask you this. Do you hold Edin Dzeko in higher regard than you would Mkhitaryan at Inter?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Do I hold him in higher regard? I think Dzeko is by far the better player. Anytime his name would come up on a team sheet, I'd be more excited to see that than Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's interesting that in Inzaghi's like 200th match, you think about the amount of times that as Inter coach, which happened today, congratulations, Simone, which, by the way, 200 matches at a club is, you don't see that all the time anymore. I think Fabrizio Biasin was talking in a podcast about how you don't see 3-year projects at Italian teams ever anymore. And, you know, Inzaghi has done that, so props to him. But as far as Mkhitaryan is concerned, he's been one of the first names written into his team sheet over these 200 games for Inzaghi. So, you know, from a availability perspective and constantly being there, there's very few players that have given more minutes than Henrik Mkhitaryan. But we've always complained about the quality. And Dzeko did, you know, he did have more quality for me. I think Mickey had I don't want to be so down to the point where we don't acknowledge the fact that he did play a good game today. He did play a good game.
And I said he did. But don't be like Nemo right now and dance around answering the damn question.
I answered it. And Dzeko, 100%.
Okay.
100%. Yeah. Okay, now we can really get a little bothered here.
I know exactly where we're going with this, and I don't even know if I want to talk about him. But go ahead.
We have to. Prior to the game, Mehdi Taremi gets in front of a microphone, says he's been playing the entire season since the preseason where he suffered that injury. I think he scored like 5 goals in the preseason, and everyone was getting hyped about him, including myself. Got injured and apparently has been on painkillers for the entirety of the season. Some folks saying it's a bit of an excuse. Some folks saying trying to blame Inter's physiotherapist and stuff like that. And whatever it is, regardless, the result on the pitch today was uninspiring. Although, you know, it's not like he was misplacing a ton of passes, which we've seen him do before. I think the story of his game comes down to, in the first half, receiving the ball a little bit outside of where the actual penalty spot is, maybe 14 yards, 16 yards away. Free reign. No one's around him. An opportunity on goal where essentially any striker in world football is putting that one corner or the other within a foot of either post. High or low, it doesn't matter, but it's going here. He hits it right down the middle. An easy... In fact, the goalkeeper actually made a meal out of it. It should have been like this. Right here. And instead, he puts it over. That just sums up that Taremi season. Where he's had... The opportunities have come his way to perform. I don't think today was particularly encouraging. But I'm open to hearing if people disagree with me.
The only person that would disagree with you is Nima. He will defend that guy to the ends of the world. I think it is an excuse. I don't think... If you really are that hurt that you have to be taking pain meds to get through matches since the beginning of the season... Then either you really don't care and you just want to, you know, be out there and throwing in mediocre performances and not really helping your squad. Because if I, like, I don't know, I tried to play through what I thought was just a really bad ankle sprain. It ended up being a torn tendon, and I still tried to play through it in my foot. I was hurting not only myself more, but the team more. By trying to force myself to be out there. You're just being selfish at that point. Like, you're just trying to do it for whatever, attention, glory, whatever you want to call it. I think at some point you have to just shut it down and get your body right first so that way you could be the best version of yourself, the version that we were apparently seeing in the preseason, whereas now we're seeing a shell of the player you are. And you're looking like a massive flop of a signing. I would rather if you missed, the whole season. Yes, it would have sucked. But one, we could have either tried to address it in the January market. And two, you could have got yourself right and then actually been an asset to us. Let's say you did come back late in the season and were able to help us in a Champions League semifinal or help us get over the hump in a Coppa Italia semifinal. Like you could have been an asset in more instead of now being a burden. That's really how I look at it. And I am... disappointed with the player. I'm disappointed in the signing. I was excited about it in the summer, I'm not gonna lie, but you haven't done anything. And like you said, like, that ball was played back to him time and space. He could have picked whatever corner he wanted. It was open to him, and he puts it right at the goalkeeper. That is beyond disappointing. And I just, you know, I don't get it. I wish we could actually get inside his head and figure out what his thought process is, because it just doesn't make sense. And I know Nima came on here last week to defend him and kind of like, you know, say that he needed a moment to take that penalty and be able to get his confidence back. If you need a penalty to make you feel confident to be out there, then I don't think you're at the right club, to be quite honest. I'd be fine with like a poacher's goal or one that grazes his butt and off a corner and goes in, like something really cheap to kind of just lift the spirits. But what would have happened if he missed a penalty like Zielinski did? Would he have just been completely useless to us the rest of the season and just been in a downward spiral mentally? I'm glad we don't have to know that, because I think that he would have been more mentally fragile than Zielinski, who missed the pen.
I think that the criticism of Taremi is a little bit overblown. Like, you know, there's conversation about, oh, it's agenda driven, this criticism against Taremi, and I don't think that is the case. Listen, I don't know what it's like to play on painkillers. I'm sure that he's, you know, he's hobbling out there and he really is giving it his all and giving it his best. But we criticize everyone when they're not doing well. I mean, we criticized Dumfries for a long time. He started performing, and now for both of us, he's one of our, you know, the players that we're excited to see on the team sheet. It's not a matter of, you know, there being an agenda or anything like that. You see the way that even his teammates treat him. It's almost like a make-a-wish kid. Like, they're desperate for him to get a goal. They're desperate for him to do something. And, you know, like I said at the start of talking about him, he's had plenty of opportunities and it's been squandered. And we don't need to treat the guy with kid gloves. I mean, he is a 32-year-old man. Like, you know, he's been poor. If he's been nursing an injury, okay, you know, sorry that you've been nursing an injury. But the second that you pull on the kit and step on the pitch, the expectation is there. You don't all of a sudden throw out 117 years of history and expectations around what we should be seeing when you pull the kit on, just because, you know, you're carrying an injury. Thuram's been carrying an injury as well, and on painkillers, and still scoring. Arnautovic doesn't get any leeway or flack.
No, he certainly does not.
So, for what feels like the 30th time out of 43 games this season, we're talking about Taremi hoping to see a better performance. I don't think it was all terrible, but I don't think the inability to put away open chances should just be like thrown to the side because he was 92% passing. That was his passing today. So, like, you know, I don't think that we talk only about that and not about the fact that he had a couple opportunities to put Inter ahead today, but even further, and he didn't do it. So in the same way that we criticize everybody else, we criticize Mehdi Taremi. All right. You got anyone else that you want to talk about today? Thankfully, Barella and Lautaro did not play whatsoever. Bastoni did get the last 30 or so minutes. And he was fine. But anyone else that you want to dive into?
Nah, nobody else that I want to dive into here. This was a pretty non... what's the word? I don't even know what the word is. I apologize, guys. My brain is just like a mush right now. Work has been really draining. So I can't even think right.
We'll get you out of here quick. So... a couple questions here from the listeners. Who is your man of the match? For me, it was Mkhitaryan. He rolled back the years tonight. Thuram was great too. Great to see the kids. Can we now confirm that Taremi is a bust? So we talked about pretty much all this, but I'll go ahead and give Mickey man of the match for sure. That was from Peter Jordan.
Yeah, sure. I'm okay with that.
All right. Elric Buchanan at Lord Poppy. Should we be scared of Bayern Munich or let's keep going one game at a time?
Ooh, what a great question. No, I don't think we should be scared of Bayern Munich. That doesn't mean we don't respect Bayern Munich. I just think that we should not fear any team left in this tournament, except maybe Real Madrid, and that's just because of their pedigree and this really being theirs. I think that if we play to our best, And again, this can go really for any team that's left. I think the teams that are left are kind of like the best of the best out there. I think that if we play to the top of our potential, that we should easily be able to take care of Bayern Munich. And by easily, I mean like a 1-0, like, you know, 2 on aggregate or something like that. Outside of Harry Kane, their attack doesn't really scare me. I know that there's loads of pace that they could be pushing at us and be able to get behind our defense. And they, you know, whether it's Olise or even, you know, an aging Serge Gnabry. I mean, not Serge Gnabry. Leroy Sané. Gnabry's never really had pace, but he is a smart player, very cerebral for sure. Kingsley Coman. I don't know how I forgot him. He's one of the fastest guys on that. He probably is the fastest guy on that team. But I think that we can handle that. You know, the last time that we played them, and it was when Onana made his first start, we were bombarded in that match, and Onana really did keep it respectable. But I also don't think that we had the talent that we have right now. And I mean, Bastoni wasn't the defender that he is today. You know, Skriniar was, I think he was already dealing with the back issues at that point, if I'm not mistaken, and was not even playing in that one. I'd have to double check. But, you know, De Vrij had a down year. Acerbi wasn't here. I think we're a different team than we are. You know, we obviously didn't have Pavard. We didn't have Bisek. Defensively, I think that we would be able to match up well with them. If needed, Carlos Augusto, I think, would be able to handle, you know, whoever is coming on the left side. Dumfries, you know, maybe would be, you know.
I got you back.
But, you know. I think that we'd just be able to match up very well with them. I don't really see it as too much of a scare. And going from, you know, having Dzeko, who I did love, it's not a knock, but like now having a guy like Thuram who can really put pressure on guys like Kim Min-jae, Upamecano, and, you know, really anyone else that they want to put in that center back role, I think that we would be more than able to go at them. So it'll be interesting to for sure, but I'm confident.
I think people overvalue some of the attacking output that they see from these teams, like an Olise or like a Kane, and they get like, oh, you know, Inter's going to get blown away or whatever it might be. I don't know how many of you guys have seen Bayern Munich matches this year, but just do me a favor and go look at the CBS Sports Golasso YouTube highlights for both legs of Bayern versus Leverkusen. And tell me how many times you've ever seen Inter have to face 5-on-2, 5-on-3 breakaways. It never happens. In the German league, if you guys watch the Bundesliga, you'll see wide open all the time. They don't play teams like Inter. They just don't. And they have, and especially in this round of 16 playing Leverkusen, like, Leverkusen left themselves exposed. Go watch those highlights. Inter is going to be a challenge that Bayern hasn't seen this year, and one that I'm confident Inzaghi might be more ready for than Vincent Kompany. At Dan Mancuso, what kind of PEDs is Dumfries on? At Lee Theobald, I think Dumfries was a close second for man of the match. You know, and then Huyan posts a picture that he's got that dog in him. Obviously, we've been praising Dumfries. He had an amazing game. At a person 1352, seeing we'll be playing them in the quarters, who's your favorite player to play for both Inter and Bayern Munich? Interesting. Ooh. Ooh. There's one that immediately comes to mind.
I know who you're going to say. Go ahead, take that one. I'm thinking of
Ivan Perisic.
I hate you. I was kind of hoping you were going to say that. I was hoping you were going to say Lucio.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it is Perisic as well. I love Ivan. He's just so good. I miss him. I wish we had him right now with all these injuries and everything. Oh, my gosh. I would kill for
for Perisic, whether it's on the right or left. But Lucio's a good one. You could say Podolski. You could say
Podolski.
Did Podolski play for?
Yeah,
I meant to say Shaqiri, but did Podolski also play for?
Oh man, there's a lot.
I mean, Matthaus. You know, Lothar is unbelievable. Yep. I didn't get to see too much. I shouldn't say too much. I didn't really see any of him. I was too young, but I did watch like old matches on YouTube, like full 90 minutes at Inter, and the guy was phenomenal. But I'm trying to think, who else was?
You want me to start reading you these names?
You could say Sommer. You could say Pavard. You could say hold on. Don't go into it. I'm trying to see if I can remember other names that pop up. Not strikers that I can think of. Wingers.
I'll give you. He's Swiss. Swiss and a midget. Is that? Are you about to say a little person?
Shaqiri.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It's funny that I knew exactly what you were talking about when you said a midget.
Played for Juventus for a long time.
Played for Juventus for a long time.
A favorite of Antonio Conte.
But he played for Inter as well?
Mm-hmm. Inter, Bayern,
and Juve. Vidal. Fuck him.
Mm-hmm. Jurgen Klinsmann?
Yeah, Klinsmann. Didn't Andy Brehme play for them too? Or no?
Yep, Andy Brehme. Lost him last year. And Karl-Heinz Rummenigge.
I've always heard Rummenigge, but I could.
Rummenigge.
I don't know. German names are weird.
Okay. Yeah, so there's been plenty. It's a fixture with a ton of history. A ton of history. And should be... It's a marquee matchup. At Jerkbag Jerk, does that Chedby have issues going against Harry Kane?
I don't think so. If he can handle himself with Haaland, I think he can handle himself with Kane. Now, I think Kane's a better finisher. But I do think that Achedebi should be able to pocket him like he has done with other great strikers in the past.
I agree. And then last one before we do a couple speak pipes here, Samuel O'Rourke. Does this mean Correa is actually our best striker? He sends in some minutes played per goal or assist, and Correa and Arnautovic are at 91 minutes as opposed to Taremi, who contributes one every 173 minutes.
I'll never
see. We'll just leave it at that. All right. Three speak pipes. Let's do it. Huyan. What he's going to say.
He makes me so nervous.
You hurt? No?
No. You got to find a different app that we could either just pull up and share it on the screen or something. That's the thing that worries me about doing these on this is like, I don't want the sound quality to be bad for our listeners.
I'll make it a priority to figure that out this
week. I'll help look for something too. Like,
what's up, interview? This is your boy Huyan again. I'm just happy really that we qualified for the next round. But to be honest, like I said, right now it's all about the result. I'm not even going to talk about the play. But a couple of things I want to say though. There's this guy. I don't even think it's a guy. I really think he's probably a child at this point. And my favorite part about this game is when that punk Aslani got a yellow card in the 62nd minute, 1 minute before he came on. And you can see that he's getting outplayed by one of the worst teams that we ever played. Get this guy out of the club. I don't care. I can't wait till summertime. Something about him, my blood pressure just gets like, he has a punchable face. I'm not a violent person, but I will knock him out if I see him in the street just because of his face, bro. Nevertheless, shout out to my boy Dumfries holding it down once again. El Capitano today. We move on.
I didn't hear any lies.
Aslani does have such a punchable face. Like, Aslani looks like the kind of guy that would try to hit on your girl at a bar. Like, he would see you with your girl and he would still try to hit on her. I would love to fight him.
Like, the greasy hair a little bit, you know? Like,
just. Screaming dirtbag. Anyway.
Is this you, Gino Panino? Who is this?
No, that's not me. That's not me.
Hey, guys. Longtime listener of your podcast. Love everything about all you're doing. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Forza Inter. About the match today, I thought we played a really strong game. Showed well. And on to Bayern. And let's see how we can do there. All right. And like always, keep up the great work. And Forza Inter from Vancouver, Canada.
Let's go. Wow. Listeners Vancouver. In Vancouver. That's cool. That's really cool. Thank you, Gino. Appreciate it. And let's bring them Bayern already. Can we just play them next on Saturday?
I'm excited to see that. If you think about the matchups that we're heading towards, I think Lille is actually going to get past Dortmund. So Lille, Barcelona, Inter, Bayern Munich, PSG versus the winner of Bruges, Villa, which looks like it's going to be Villa.
They're up 3-1. Yeah.
And then the winner of Real Atletico versus
Arsenal. And it's only because Arsenal's up 7-1. Like, I don't think
Inter Bayern is by far the best fixture in the quarters.
Without question. That could be some people's dream final matchup. And that's probably just club fans of Inter and Bayern. But I that's the only one I would want to tune into.
Very pissed off Inter fan.
In the 10 minutes that Bayern played, he was more impactful than Frattesi. He was just in the right places. He knew where to be. Like, he shoots Inzaghi's systems better than Frattesi does. And honestly, I hate to say it, but I'm on the side of him. Like, yeah, we really, really got to get rid of that guy. He offers nothing. But, good win. Let's bring on Bayern. Hopefully we can get through that tie and get some guys back. We're going to need it.
Sharma tweeted something today about like the attendance figures being a little bit down and how badly the squad needs a refresh here. And you can just like, people are done with Frattesi. They're done with Aslani. They're done with Taremi. I mean, this summer could be very exciting. It could be very, very exciting.
It could be. I don't know if it will be, but it certainly could be. I'm tired of those same three guys. Like, I want them all gone.
We want the kids.
We want young players. Like, whether it's like a Nico Paz or a Samuele Ricci or a young striker, a young center back. We want fresh blood. Sule could be, a cheap option in the back line. Potentially we have good relationships with
Lionese. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I was a little unsure when he was at Salzburg. I did like certain things for sure. I just didn't. And I think that this was the perfect move. Go to Lionese first, really establish yourself. And now you can make a big move to a club. Hopefully we don't get pipped by Juve again. We almost had Cabal last season, and it'd be nice to get one of these young center backs from the city out across the finish line for us. But it's obvious, not just to us, but to a lot of Interisti, that there needs to be a refresh and some injection of youth into this squad to be able to have sustained success in the league, and not just the league, but on multiple fronts.
Agreed. All right, that's Feyenoord and Inter in the round of 16. Inter is on to the quarterfinals again. First in Serie A, last 8 in Europe, in the semis in the Coppa Italia, Club World Cup loading. It's just somehow we're sticking around despite all the things that we've had to come up against. Season definer up next Saturday against Atalanta. Sure seems like it.
It's definitely got that potential. I don't know if I would say it's season defining. Some people would have said the same thing about the game against Napoli. I don't think that's going to define the season either. I think it's really going to come down to matches 35 to 38, which would be truly season defining. Now, if you drop points, you lose the game to Atalanta, maybe that is season defining. But I don't think a draw is the end of the world. A win definitely makes you feel better. But
yeah. If there's 10 games left, we can end on this note. That's 30 points available. No one is grabbing all 30.
No.
What what is the point total needed out of these potential 30 on deck in order to win the Serie A?
25?
I think it's at least, at the very minimum, 25.
Yeah. I think so. 8-1-1, I think, gets you the Scudetto.
Yep. Yep, I agree. All right. In the words of the great Roberto.
Hold on. I gotta do a shameless plug here real quick. If you are in the US, or I don't even know what other countries, you know, have it, but if you're in the US and you have Paramount Plus, obviously if you're a Serie A fan, you do have Paramount Plus. But not Paramount Plus. It's actually ESPN Plus that I need to plug in here. But if you do have ESPN Plus to watch whatever other sports, there is a little page there for the USL Championship. Okay. Check out the Las Vegas Lights if you can. Obviously, I'm always wearing their shit. Well, I can't even, like, I don't even, because I work for them. We have Antonio Nocerino as the manager, which I know I've mentioned before. I know it's not the same quality of soccer or footy or calcio, whatever you want to call it, as the Serie A or any other league in Europe. However, it is extremely enjoyable. Antonio Nocerino is doing some great things with this team. There's a lot of talent on this team that's probably not going to get the recognition that it deserves, and maybe not make it. You know, some of them might make moves to bigger clubs at some point, but check it out. Watch it if you care. I know we're on the West Coast, so it might be a little bit hard for some listeners, but I definitely think it's worth your time, man. Like, if you love soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, like I said, you can't, like, cast a league aside like this. It's great. I love having an imprint on it and being able to be a part of this growth. And yeah, I just hope you could tune in. And hey, if not, you don't want to tune in, but you do want to rep the club, our merch is live on our website. So yeah, give it a shot. Las Vegas Lights FC.
I'll give you my pitch. I'm going to watch to support my brother Gianmarco, but also, if you're like me and the MLS just doesn't do it for you, there's other American soccer events, soccer leagues going on, right? Let's try the USL.
We're working towards Pro Rel. Like, that's going to be sick, probably by like 2027, maybe 2028. That'll be implemented. We're going to have a Division One, which is going to be where Las Vegas is a part of, which means we're going to be on the same level according to FIFA and I forgot what, and CONCACAF, to be able to compete in the same competitions as them. And we'll be going really toe to toe with the MLS at some point. So it's going to be sick. I can't wait for the pro relegation aspect of it. I think that's going to make things a lot more attractive to the foreigner. It's been pretty cool because we've had guys from France, Germany come to the stadium saying, "Hey, I want to buy a jersey. I came to the game, whatever, and you didn't have it then, whatever. Now we do have, obviously, our new kits. And we also have the greatest marketing team and the greatest, you know, graphics and design team, I think, in the whole league. Not even saying it biasedly. Go look at all our jersey kit release videos and even our schedule release video that my good friend now, Victor, has put together. It's incredible. The talent there is... I'm happy to be a part of the squad and to see where things are going. So give it a shot.
Yeah. It's an English speaking podcast for Inter fans. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have ESPN Plus that are listening. Just check it out. Alrighty. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.